Lord, teach us to pray. It was a childlike request, as if the disciple who requested it was a little child who was tired of watching their dad do a task they couldn't quite wrap their head around, and they wanted to do it themselves. Lord, teach us to pray just like you did when you were on the mountain and you shone in all your glory. Lord, teach us to pray just like you do when you go off to those solitary places and talk to God one-on-one. Lord, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples, because you, of all people, know how to talk to God. And he did. He did teach them to pray. He said, "When you pray, dear ones, remember. Remember, you're not only praying to your God, you are praying to your Father. For he loves you as his own and has brought you into his family and has placed his name on you for your benefit. So address him as Father. And yet, don't forget who he is. Your Father is holy, and his name is holy. And so pray to your Father who is in heaven that his name may be kept holy, not only in the world, but also kept holy by you in your life, that you view his name and what he's done as special and sacred. For your God, your Father, reigns the universe as king. And as king, he brings you a kingdom. And yet the kingdom doesn't come in the way that you might expect. No, the kingdom comes through his Spirit and the weapons that he wields. And yet, even though your Father is in heaven, don't forget that he's not only concerned about your soul, the heavenly things, but he's even concerned about your life here on earth. Like any good father, he puts food in your bellies, shoes on your feet, a roof over your head. And so, like little children, toddle up to your Father with complete certainty and confidence, knowing that the one who loves you is going to give you exactly what you need. And when you mess up, and when you fail, and when you sin, go again to your Father and tell him what you did. Say, "I'm sorry." And just as he promises that his kingdom will come and he will give you daily bread, so too his promise is that he will forgive you no matter what. And in so doing, he will model for you what it can be like for you. Just as you have been forgiven, you too can forgive others. You can be just like your Father, leaving behind the evil and clinging to the good. This is what it means to pray. To trust your Father completely, to go to him as often and as desperately as possible, to pray, to speak to God from the heart. Lord, teach us to pray. That was the childlike request, and the response to that childlike request has echoed through time and eternity, all the way to the present day. It has filled the minds and the mouths of people from every nation and tribe and people and language. These words that Jesus spoke that day, they have brought adversaries together and made enemies lift voices together to God above with the same prayer. This prayer, this Lord's Prayer, you say the first two words, "Our Father," and watch as the babbling youths and the murmuring elders find their words more coherent, their thoughts more clear, their faith more certain. And even though the deceiver has filled churches throughout the world with false teaching, you'd be hard-pressed to find sanctuary walls that aren't familiar with these hallowed words. The Lord's Prayer. the Lord's Prayer, the answer to the childlike request, Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. But it didn't stop on that day. No, the teaching went on every day afterward. Every time Jesus disappeared to a solitary place, every time Jesus lifted head and hands to heaven, every time he cried out from the cross, he was teaching us to pray. By praying. As he prayed, he showed us where we can find true peace. As he prayed, he showed us the place from where all blessings flow. As he prayed, he showed us that even if it feels like God has abandoned us, we can still trust in him. Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. And he still does. He still teaches us by praying. Remember what we said the definition of prayer was a little earlier? That prayer was talking to God from the heart. Well, the Apostle Paul, in our reading from 1 Timothy, tells us that even though Jesus has ascended with shouts of joy and triumph, he is still praying for us. But he has a new title now. He is the mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. For those who don't know, the word mediator, it means a go-between. So imagine you have two parties who are in conflict with one another. A mediator is the third party that comes in between the two and settles the score and brings peace. And this is the picture that God gives us of his throne room in heaven. He says the Father is on the throne and Satan day and night stands there accusing. And yet there's another in the room. Our Lord Jesus, who stands there day and night advocating. There he stands speaking to God from the heart. And you know what? Or I should say, whom is on God's heart? All people. All people are on Jesus' heart. Even the unbelievers? Yeah. All people. Even the ones who live lives in blatant rebellion against God and what he has to say? All people. Even those who make it their life's mission to prove to themselves and others that God doesn't exist? Yes, all people. Did you hear? God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. All people by God's grace, which include you and me. The Lord's Prayer, that was Jesus' first lesson on prayer. And this mediation, this mediator position he holds before God on our behalf, this is his latest lesson on prayer. I don't know about you, but it's at this lesson that I find it hard to follow. Find it hard to follow what Jesus says. Because it's true, all over the Bible you see encouragements to pray. You heard it in our epistle reading from 1 Timothy today. You heard it in the gospel reading. You even saw an example of persistent prayer from Abraham in Genesis. And if that weren't enough, prayer is in the readings, but prayer is even in our liturgy, in the back and forth between you, the people, and myself, the pastor. Did you notice? Most of the time we were praying. We were asking God to hear us, asking God to forgive us, asking God to be with us. Prayer super saturates everything we do. But that's in the divine service, right? That's in the worship service. We see prayer everywhere. But then we go out into our daily service. And for some reason, there appear conversations, discussions that we deem more important than talking to God from the heart. And when we do find time for God, and it's kind of ridiculous to say it that way, find time for God. But when we do find time for God, we have the hardest time following the first lesson. Not to mention this latest lesson on praying for all people. Just think about it. When you find yourself praying, if you find yourself praying, do you ever pray for God's name to be respected? Or do you ever pray for God's kingdom, God's word, to do its work and to come to this world no matter what it takes? When you pray, do you pray fervently for the blessings you already have in your life as if the prayer was what brought the blessings, or do you view these blessings as human rights, as something that God owes me, as something that I deserve? Or maybe when you pray, are you willing to spend the few breaths out of all the breaths you take every single day to say those few yet hard words, Lord, forgive me? Or are you unwilling to look into the mirror of what God has to say and see what you really are and what you've really done? And that's just the Lord's Prayer. I mean, there's still the latest lesson, right? There's the lesson of praying for all people, the mediator, Jesus, who stands in heaven before the Father on our behalf. When we pray, are we as concerned about the salvation of all people as Jesus is? I mean, just think about it. How all-consumed our Savior was with our salvation, that he was willing to die to put the amen at the end of that prayer. This was God's love and God's desire from the beginning. And so when we pray, are we all consumed by that thought? The salvation of souls? When we pray, do we want nothing more than the fall of Satan and the redemption of sinners? Or maybe that's not your prayer, or you don't feel as zealously about it as Jesus does because you've lost your confidence in prayer. Maybe you too have found yourself in lonely, isolated places and yet found no peace. Maybe you lifted head and hands to heaven asking God for help and found no provision. Maybe you felt abandoned by God, and all that happened was that his silence confirmed your worst fears. Or maybe prayer isn't the problem. Maybe it's that all people piece. Maybe it's because there's a few people in your lives, or maybe more than a few people, that you're just really not concerned about. All they've done is hurt you. All they've done is look down on you. They've never had time for you, and so do they really deserve your prayers? Or maybe it's that salvation piece, and the idea of eternal life with Jesus is right next to the all people that you can't stand in your disregard for what God's given to you to pray for. Maybe. But that's where the maybes stop. Because despite the infrequency or the frailty of your prayers, Jesus still prays. And despite your confidence, your lack of confidence in God and his promises, Jesus still prays. And despite the lives of sin that we so often lead and all the times we fail to live up to the name Christian that we've been given, Jesus still prays. Jesus still intercedes for us. Jesus is still all consumed with the desire of saving you. But more than that, he's not just consumed with this desire to save you, he's consumed with desire to hear from you, to hear your prayers. He doesn't just listen to them as if he's listening to the radio in the background. No, He listens and he hears. And he orchestrates all of history based on the words that you, the ones he loves, has to say to him. As the Lord says, the prayers of a righteous person, of a believer, they are powerful and effective. And they are powerful and effective, not just on the world that surrounds us, but they're also powerful and effective on us. For as we pray, we learn how to pray. Let me put it this way. Imagine a child, just crawling, can't walk, can't talk. What's the only way the child is going to learn how to walk? By watching the parents. And now the child's walking, but they're still babbling, and it's just nonsense. No words are there. What's the only way that the child's going to learn how to talk? By listening to the parents. Well, now the child's walking and talking, but they're words, but they don't make a whole lot of sense. What's the only way the child's going to grow and mature and refine their speech to make the words their own? Well, it's by speaking with the parent. So the same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. The only way we're going to learn how to act is by watching how God loves. And the only way we're going to learn how to speak is by listening to what he has to say. And the only way we're going to grow and mature and refine these words and make them our own is by speaking with him. When we pray, it's nice when the prayers are answered the way we want them to be. Yeah, it's nice. But despite the answer, whether the answer is yes from God or I have something better for you, either way, there's something better going on than the answer to the prayer. Every time you pray, every time you wrestle with God in your prayers, every time you compare his will to your will and realize just how different they are often, every time you grow, you mature, his thoughts start to become your thoughts. His ways start to become your ways. The things that consume him, the things that motivate him, the things that he loves, those are the things that start to motivate you and consume you. The things that you start to love. After all, good children learn from their good father. And we've been brought into this good family. And this good family has a family business. It's the salvation of souls. And this family business does not just extend to our Father in heaven. No, it even extends to his son, his firstborn son, the son that he loves. And we would do well to pay attention to him, because when we pray, we're just mimicking our older brother. And when we go to the Lord, not only for things that are pertinent to us, but also on behalf of other people, we're modeling ourselves after the one who goes to the Lord on our behalf. And when we bring prayers and petitions and intercessions and thanksgiving to the God of all, we're being just like Jesus. We're learning from our Father and our big brother. And as we do, he gives us lives of peace, peace and quietness, godly and holy lives, lives that can be enjoyed in part this side of heaven, but lives that we ultimately look forward to on the next. Which leads us right back to the gospel, to the plain where stands the disciple who asks the childlike question as he looks up at his big brother, "How do I talk to Dad?" And so let's join the disciple and Christians through time and eternity and ask that childlike question. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.